La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, 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 font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.
Bonjour rugby friends and welcome to a new edition of the French Rugby Connection with moi, Véronique Lindieu, and my co-host who is not feeling too well today.
I have a cold, so I'm feeling a little bit rough, but never mind. So here I am, Brighton Peedy, Bill Hooper.
Yes, you were saying in French, you say j'ai un rhume.
Bah oui, j'ai un rhume.
Yes, indeed.
Un sale rhume.
So anyway, what a splendid finish for les Français, for les Bleus, after a terrible, terrible start. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, in French they say le grand ouf, the great sigh of relief. And it at the end it was, wasn't it? Because we all thought perhaps that they lost their opportunity until the no-arms tackle by Ben Earl was penalised and up stepped Thomas Romas to knock over the penalty from almost the halfway line. So there we are. It was a very exciting game, end-to-end stuff. But
yes,
to say this, another game where France showed some defensive frailties.
Oh, yes. And you remember what Sean Edwards said when he was being interviewed after the match? He did say that he was absolutely appalled by the lack of defensiveness.
Yes, I think he even went as far as to say it was the worst since he'd been with the French team.
That's right.
And yeah, there was that moment, that period either side of half time, when France somehow contrived to concede three tries. And really, we thought, well, England are in the driving seat here. They could easily go on to win the game. And maybe in years gone by, they would have done. But France managed to find a way back.
That was so bad. They really fell asleep at the wheel there. It was terrible. I have to say, I have to applaud the efforts of the English team, Les Roses, because, you know, they saw an opportunity three times.
It was a one try just before half time.
Correct.
Two more tries, I think, in the first 6 minutes of the second half. So it was a pretty quick turnaround.
Yes, I remember Nick Mullins mentioning that on ITV, saying it was extremely quick. So not good. There's definitely an area that France needs to work on. But I have to say, I think the big revelation of this tournament for the French team was definitely our youngsters, our young guns, the likes of Nolan Le Garec, Nicolas Deporter.
They certainly have shone and perhaps shown where the future of French rugby lies. I think if I was looking at the overall tournament and looking at all four games, the player who stands out for me is Francois Cros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was the one player I felt who really shone in all four games.
Okay.
And he could come out and say, and hold his hand up and say, I had a good tournament. No question about it. His work rate at the breakdown was phenomenal. He tackled. He really did put his body on the line. So for me, he was the player of the tournament. I certainly agree that when Nolan Le Garec came on and started the last two games, that certainly changed the dynamic of the French team in a big way. So, yes, I think hopefully we shall see Nolan involved with the French team for a few years to come. But, of course, Will he ever be able to usurp Mr. Dupont as number one? That is a question for another day.
We'll see, because, you know, Nolan Le Garec is only 21 years old and Antoine Dupont is 27 years old. So it's what I can say from a scrum half perspective is that the future is looking bright. Very bright. So for me, Bill, a player that really shone through this tournament was Tomas Ramos.
He showed his adaptability, his versatility, shall we say, of, you know, playing at fullback and coming into play at fly half. But, and this is a big but.
But are you contradicting me? How dare you? Come on, I'm waiting for your comments. Go on.
His defensive frailties were a little bit apparent there at fly half. He was exposed. And if they want to play Ramos at fly half, they're going to have to think of another game plan.
Oh, for me, what I can only think is, you know, the last kick of the game against, you know, is it's instead of France finishing fourth, that kick allowed France to be ranked second in the tournament. Because when you look at the beginning of the tournament, it started really, really badly. Fabien Gatier made a mistake. Well, he thought he was doing the right thing by asking all the players that played the quarterfinal, minus Antoine Dupont, to play against Ireland. And I think they were overtired. They were not ready psychologically, physiologically, because top 14 is a beast, basically. And yeah, it didn't work out. And it's, I think it's the big was when they nearly lost against Italy and they had to play Wales. That's when Fabien Gatier decided, you know, to put his younger players on the pitch.
And the good thing is, I think, obviously, that the two games, France against Ireland and Scotland, the discipline was bad, which didn't help their cause at all. Now, after that, it tightened up, and I think France certainly benefited from having 15 men on the pitch all the time.
Yes.
So that's definitely a factor, especially in that first game against Ireland. Mm-hmm. That was crucial. You could not afford to go down to 14 men, as France did for that length of period of a whole half, basically, against an Irish side. So. But that was, and I'm sure that had a psychological effect on the players, which played out in that game.
I think they still had the hangover from the quarterfinal as well. But yeah, playing 14 against 15, it's a tough gig. I had a big smile off my face again on Saturday evening after the win. Ireland didn't win a Grand Slam this time, but the Six Nations, it was to be expected. So well done to Ireland, followed by France, back from the dead. That was a very, very close. It was very close. And then we had England and Italy and the wooden spoon. Who would have thought about that at the beginning of tournaments? Wales, my goodness.
Yes, and Scotland, of course, slipping into fourth place.
Yes. Sorry about that. I forgot about Scotland, yes.
But, yes, Wales, I'm not surprised, to be fair. When I looked at their squad, very inexperienced squad coming in, definitely a rebuilding period for Wales. They've gone through this cycle before, and they'll come back strong, I'm sure of it. But, no, this season was very much, as I said, a season to rebuild and lay the foundations for hopefully a great Wales team to come back in the years to come.
Yeah, maybe in about 5 years' time, something like that. Yes, they need to rebuild themselves. But it was so satisfying to see Italy win.
Yes, you know, I think this is definitely their best Six Nations tournament. Two wins and a draw. Fantastic results for them. And unlucky to lose against England, many would say, in the opening game. So it could have been even better. As I said, the one game where they got badly beaten was the game against Ireland. But there we are. But Italy certainly, against all the other sides, looked like they were certainly competitive. And they certainly put together a good tournament. And it also was shown at under 20 level, with their under 20s doing well and getting some good results too. So hopefully the future looks promising for Italy.
Good stats for Fabien Gatier. Since he's been a coach for the French team, he finished in the last 5 years 4 times second. And in 2022, he won the Six Nations and the Grand Slam. So very, very good. By the way, do you say Grand Slam or Grand Chelem?
Grand Chelem in French, but Grand Slam in English.
Oh, okay, so yes. Hey, I've got some news for you. After the press, another one bites the dust. It's Billy Vunipola is going to play for Montpellier from September for next season. And he has signed for 2 years, apparently, according to Midi Olympique.
Yes, yeah, I picked that up as well, that Billy has signed for Montpellier. So a 2-year contract for him. That's great, great news for him, and I'm sure he'll do well at Montpellier. So, yeah, that's another one of the England players hot-footing it across the channel.
Definitely, and you may remember, but Zach Mercer, you know, spent two years playing for Montpellier. He had a great time over there. So, yeah, so France is attracting lots of talented players. Owen Farrell was going to be apparently the best paid player in the world, you know, with his contract at Racing 92. Well done for him. And then Billy Vunipola probably will be on a good salary as well. So he's going to join the like of Sam Simon, who is playing third at Montpellier as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Manu Tuilagi is going to Bayonne as well. So that's a big signing for them, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And Colette Laws joined Brive.
Yes. So that's going to, as you say, a tremendous signing for Brive. So that's be interesting to see. I should think next season they'll be challenging in Pro
D2. I think I have to look. I don't think there are any French players playing in the Premiership now.
No, I don't think so. There's a player who's playing in Munster who was almost called in to play for France. I can't think of his name now, but he played. I think he played at Bristol. But he's at Munster.
All right.
He might have to do a bit of digging on that one.
Yeah. But to be honest with you, I think it's going to be a shock to the system for the players that are currently playing for the Premiership when they move to France and start playing for top 14, because this is a tough champion league. I think there will be a few bruises to their bodies, that's for sure.
It's a lot tougher than the Premiership. There's no two ways about it, and it's unforgiving, and it's relentless. It just goes on and on and on. Where do you get breaks here in England? You don't get those breaks in France.
And it's a longer season as well. We're talking about 26 weekends.
Yeah.
It's a full-on. Any other news?
No, well, I picked up that Toulon are going to welcome back Baptiste Serin and Garbizi will be hopefully starting for Toulon this weekend as well in their top 14 game. So that's some excitement there. And also both Dupont and Entamac are back training at Toulouse, and they'll be looking to get back into the top 14 side. Maybe even this weekend we'll see one or both of them in action against Bordeaux-Bègles.
That's going to be amazing to see them back together after, 6 months off, especially for Tamac, because he couldn't even play during the World Cup because of his ACL, I think. So, yeah, very, very, very positive. Good news, especially our supporters of Toulouse. So
Fred certainly missed Roma and Tamaka in the Six Nations, no two ways about it.
But Jalibert did a decent job. Yeah. It was a bit tougher, but I put the blame on his on a level of tiredness. You know that Mathieu Jalibert is my favorite anyway, so I can't say anything negative.
Do you have a picture of him in your bedroom that you
thought? I don't need about? To. Ah, if I was 20 years younger. Let's forget that the Six Nations for Women is going to start as well.
France are playing Italy on Saturday in Le Mans.
Aha, interesting, in Le Mans as well. It's very enjoyable to watch women's rugby, especially when you got France and England facing each other. But France has been so unfortunate. They haven't won against England for at least, I forgot the number of times. But
it's a few years now since they last beat an England team. But the England setup now is so professional that it's very difficult. It's very difficult to see anybody apart from England women winning the Six Nations. They've got such a stranglehold on it. But you never know. France will play England in Bordeaux at Stade Chaban-Delmas. So I'm sure it'll be a packed house down there in Bordeaux for that game. And who knows? It could end up being a championship decider. We'll have to wait and see. But I'm sure it'll be a great game when it comes round.
So, Bill, this time is going to be very, very brief when we speak about the top 14 because they had a weekend off.
Yeah, no games last weekend. They're all sitting down watching England against France against England, and who can blame them? So, yeah, so back to the grind this weekend. Again, as I said, there's some interesting games top and bottom of the table. Looking at it, I think the Sunday fixture between Bordeaux-Bègles and Toulouse is one that captures the eye.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. Absolutely.
Second against fourth. I think that's going to be a cracking game down there in Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. As they say in France, un grand cru.
Un grand cru, yes, that's right.
So it should be very good. Montpellier goes to Toulon. So that's going to be interesting. Montpellier have been in a little bit of good form, getting themselves away from the bottom of the table. They're now...
They are. Do you know what? I'm looking at the ranking. They were very much at the bottom a few weeks ago. And since Bernard Laporte has joined and checking up a few ruffles, can you say that?
He's ruffled a few feathers.
Thank you.
Well, they're out of the relegation zone, which is the important thing.
Correct. Yeah. Montpellier is doing well.
Always good to be out of the relegation zone, or the barrage, as they have in French for the playoffs. So that's good. Excuse me. But the game against Toulon, that's going to be quite an interesting fixture for them down there. So, but the other game, which really sort of highlights the bottom of the table, is Oyonnax, who are really now desperate to get a win to get some points back, and they've got Perpignan. So it's the bottom two facing each other at Oyonnax on Saturday. So,
I think it's going to be carnage.
Yes, it could well be. And the other game, which I think could be carnage, is Clermont against Pau.
Oh, yes. Because Clermont is not doing well at all. My goodness. No. Well, they were very much at the top a few seasons ago, and now they have declined for a few years.
Yes, they have. We know that their trainer, Christophe Yorios, is not a patient man.
You know, he calls a spade. He's not one who minces his words, that's for sure. We've got also Castres against Racing 92. So Nolan Le Garec will be back. So I think that Racing 92 will win the counter. And we've got Stade Français playing against Lyon. And finally, you know, Bayonne against La Rochelle.
Yes, La Rochelle are up to third now. You know, they were in the bottom half of the table earlier in the season, but they've managed to get their way back up the table, having got their players back from the World Cup after a poor start. So, yes, it'll be interesting to see how they do down there. Never easy to go. It's never an easy place to go, Bayonne. The support is so passionate down there.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a place I would love to go one day, you know, just to experience the atmosphere and their famous song and so on. One thing to do on my list. But regarding the ranking, Le Rank Stade Français is still at the top of the top 14 with the same amount of points as Toulouse, with 55 points.
Yes. And both 10 points ahead of La Rochelle and Bordeaux-Bègle on 45. And then Castres on 44, mm-hmm. along with Racing.
Yeah.
And Pau.
Yes.
All on 44. Then a little gap up to Toulon on 41. And then Bayonne and Clermont on 39. Lyon 38. Montpellier 37. Perpignan 35, and then bringing up the rear, Bayona on 25.
So one thing I notice is that it's really tight between, between La Rochelle and Toulon, between number 3 and number 8. So we're only talking about just a few points difference. So it makes the top 4 very unpredictable on what will be happening next.
Very, very tight. Yeah, there's just, and even the top two, I know they're 10 points ahead of the rest of the pack, but you know, the last round of matches, they both slipped up, so anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's to get into those playoff places. That's what counts, isn't it?
Yes.
And then that's the business end of the season when you get to the playoffs, and then you plan your campaign for the Bouclier de Brennus.
Exactly. So, Rugby France, I hope you liked our French rugby summary. And I really hope also that, Bill, you'll get a bit better because you're still suffering from your rhume or your cold.
Well, I have got a game I've got to follow this Saturday at Camborne, so you can read all about it in the rugby paper on Sunday.
So no rest for the brave. On that note, au revoir.
À bientôt.
La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou-glou-glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, avec lui dit boum, et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.